So, it's not Wednesday morning, it's Wednesday evening. I kind of forgot to record the episode on my way to work this morning, so we'll do it on the way home from work. Anyway, last night, Tuesday night, we had a shorter session, number 15, and the little troop had a couple adventure ideas in mind for them, and we started about a half hour later than usual, and did some in-town kind of catching up from the end of the last session where they had just made it back. And I had just recently read an article, can't remember if it was Sly Flourish or one of the three wise DMs had written up. And one of the things that they were talking about was starting out strong, so it sounds like a Sly Flourish article. But anyway, and it was like, don't start out with, you know, you wake up and you're in town and this and that. You know, the advice was to start out with some action with it. You know, not a lot of, what do you guys want to do, kind of hem-haw type of thing. It was a more of a call to action, get started, you know, jumpstart the session. And I did the opposite of that, and I tend to do the opposite of that, where I don't end on cliffhangers so I can start off that way with the next session. It's way more we end on something is finished, and whew, okay, well, let's go ahead and settle down for the night, and you know, you guys can make it back to town or set up camp now, you know, however you want to do it. And that's seems like that would be the way to go if it was just episodic, but since this is week to week and we're going to follow the same story, it would make sense for everyone to look forward to the next session. Like, what do you mean we're halfway through this fight and something just stepped out from behind the curtain and we want to fight it, and we at least want to know what it is? Wait till next week. You know, that kind of thing. Build a little excitement and maybe some tension. I'm going to try to do that because, you know, mix it up a little bit. Some things might not go so well with the group. Some things may surprise them or you as, you know, running the game. So I'm going to try some different things. I felt like it was a little higher energy, not necessarily faster paced, but tried to put more oomph into the game last night. And afterwards, a couple of the players mentioned how the week before it seemed a little bit, I don't want to say herky-jerky, but they said that something seemed like a little bit off, and I was not really feeling it then, and it felt off to me too. So, I mean, that, you know, the players and I both got a sense that there was something just not quite kosher last week. I don't know if I used that term right. I'm not Jewish. I apologize if that's offensive. But anyways, just really trying to maybe take little baby steps to try to improve every week, and really trying not to fall back and get repetitive or boring. Last night, instead of going through step by step like sometimes I tend to, they made the, let's see, aid to Phandalin adventure in the Storm King's Wrath. Anyway, the D&D Beyond extension of the Dragon of Icespire Peak box set from the Essentials game. So they went ahead and accepted the request from the town council to go ahead and escort the goat herd from town, from Leilon, who has the giant goats, taking the adventurers pretty specifically mentions hundreds of goats. I decided on 6 because I thought hundreds confused the crap out of me, and I just thought there was no way one person's going to be able to herd, you know, a large amount of these goats, which she's a gnome, so, and these goats can, you know, on, I don't know if it was on average, but they can grow up to 5 feet at the shoulder, so they're all going to be bigger than her unless she is mounted or on stilts of some kind. So I cut the number way down and used the characters. I had to make some handling checks to help with the goats, as at one point they were a nighttime flyby by a couple of wyverns spooked the goats, and they dealt with those fairly easily, which seems to be a trend here. I think with the characters right now being level 9 starting into this, most of the encounters are keyed for level 8s. So I try to give them, I'm giving them some more hit points and boosting a couple of their attack bonuses, and I'm still having a lot of trouble hitting the melee combatants in the party. Armor classes 23 and 24, and it's legit, it's just with plate armor, and one's an artificer, the other one is a paladin who took the defensive bonus, so that you get a plus one if you're just wearing armor, you know, as a combat stance or combat option earlier on. So they are not easy to hit, even with plus sevens, which is not uncommon when if you're fighting the ogres and things that they come across. But I'm just not hitting very often. About the only time they do get hit is if I roll a natural 20, and then they go from not being hit this combat to taking a lot of damage the next combat. It's very swingy because you're either getting hit for nothing or you're getting hit for critical, and we've boosted the criticals on both sides, so they do a pretty significant damage that way. But, you know, they have enough hit points. At no point did they really seem to be in danger last night. They encountered a couple wyverns, fought them, took one of their tail stingers as a bit of a trophy. Not sure what if they're going to try to do something with that and make something. But anyway, and the other encounter was supposed to happen as an ambush, where these ogres are, you know, surprising you, and they just sort of grab some goats and start eating them or whatever, you know, like surprise. So instead of that, I had them, they had kept a watch at night, and at this particular point, the night watchman had dark vision out to 120 feet because of that being the artificer who's got the gnomish 60-foot vision, and then there's an improvement on that for an infusion or something like that from his class, so he's got 120 feet. So he sees them as they're coming in, and, you know, I have to give him credit. At least they didn't just decide to set up an ambush and murder them. So they did have a bit of a chit-chat to start out with, and when the ogres had a bag full of quote-unquote goodies that they were willing to try to negotiate some sort of trade, at least just for one of the giant goats, because they had heard how tasty they were, there was a bit of a intention for on their side to bargain, and the players, while I, two of them made an effort to start to speak with them, the third decided he would take a more aggressive stance and just threw out a hypnotic pattern, catching I think four of the ogres, and with his like a 19 DC on it because of I will admit to have giving him something to boost his DC, I think, by one or two. So they had a minus two on a wisdom save, so these poor guys had to roll like a natural 20 to avoid the save, or avoid the hate, or the confusion. And they didn't. So four of them were out of the fight. They quickly dispatched the two, and then we just sort of hand-waved the stunned combatants, because there wasn't much of a chance of them coming out of the combat giving the characters a free round of attacks on them. So that went rather quickly, and I thought it was better than trying to drag out a rather meaningless combat. Well, they made the trip faster than was intended, because again, travel montage, and I wanted to get them back to Phandalin, and they were happy to go because they had made a good bit of conversation during their time in Phandalin with a lot of the NPCs that were still there. So they were looking forward to talking to them, and when they arrived back in town and started to notice some things were amiss and there was a little bit of a different atmosphere in town, they started looking into some things and were rather upset when the old Shrine of Tamora was found to be abandoned, at least for the time being, and had been ransacked. So they found the piece of jewelry there that indicated the somebody who was a worshiper of Talos was involved with that, and they were anxious to get to that problem, or to get to the root of that problem, so they started doing a little investigation around town, and I've always heard you should place like 3 clues if you want the your party to notice it, basically. And they had received a couple clues and was working on putting something else in front of them because they still hadn't done anything with that piece of jewelry. It's like we found it, then we just stuck it in our pocket, and instead of, you know, mentioning it or showing it to the people they had established relationships with as, you know, trustworthy NPCs in town, they have as yet to bring it out as a point of questioning for anybody, which I thought it would be pretty likely that you'd think about, hey, this is evidence of some kind. Anyway, so we left off about halfway through that adventure. I finished it up, tidied it up. So I did try to leave it on a bit of a sort of middle of action report. And I'm looking forward into seeing how they handle it this time around, because I'm going to recap for them. I've got my notes about where they are, what they were doing, what they had seen so far, and where other people are and what they are doing behind the scenes. So they're looking forward to this. They said it was a quote-unquote neat twist to come back in town and notice things had changed. So the world has moved on without them while they were away. Seemed like a good time to leave off, and hopefully we take an upswing and finish off this arc of adventures, and then should be moving into giving the Curse of Strahd a run. So we'll see how that goes.